Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 10. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. We saw last time that our differences, our diversity, is rooted in the grace of God. We are all saved the same way, and we are all indwelled by the same Spirit, but we are uniquely equipped for his service by the grace of God. Paul calls the gifts that were given the gifts of Christ. He goes on to describe the Lord Jesus as a mighty conqueror who shares the spoils of victory with his people. Verses 7 through 10 are a quote from Psalm 68. I should say, just verse 8 alone. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. They speak of the Lord as ascending to heaven in victory, having defeated all of his foes. I personally believe that this refers to the Lord's death and his resurrection. When Christ died, they buried his body, but his spirit descended into paradise to proclaim to all those who had been waiting on redemption since Adam fell that sin had been defeated and the way open to God. That seems to be what Peter refers to in his text. And look at 1 Peter 3, verse 19, where it says, well, let me begin at verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Jesus descended into paradise and shouted the same message there that he had proclaimed on Calvary when he said, "It is finished." Then he had led those precious souls out of paradise and took them home to the Father's house. Like a conquering hero when he has returned from a successful campaign, the Lord Jesus Christ shared with his people the spoils of his victory. As the Bible says in verse 8, he gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. Part of the Lord's victory over death, sin, and Satan is, first of all, the gift of a new life. The gift of a new life in him. We've been literally made new creatures, as it says in 2 Corinthians. Behold, all things have become new. The old have passed away. All things have become new when we become born again. This new birth brings with it the ability to enjoy what John 10:10 says, the abundant life. He's given you the gift of abundant life. He's given you the gift of salvation. He's given you abundant life. We see in Philippians 3, verse 9 and 10, Paul tells us what has been given to us as a gift to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. He's given us faith, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He's given us righteousness, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He's manifested his power to us and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. All of these are gifts given to us by Jesus Christ. The new life manifests itself through the work of the Holy Spirit within us, and he enables us to serve the Lord Jesus Christ through the gifts that he gives us. I don't know what gift or gifts that you've been given, but I want you to know one thing, that every one of those gifts are gifts from Jesus Christ to you. And each and every one of us have at least one gift, if not more. And they are the spoils of the victory over sin, death, hell, and Satan. Those are the spoils of war that Christ has won for us. Notice verse 11 back in our text in Ephesians 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Our diversity is seen in the gifts that Paul mentions in verse 11. And that is merely a small list of spiritual gifts. Other lists you can find in 1 Corinthians 12 speaks of numerous gifts there. Romans 12 speaks of numerous gifts, gifts of mercy, gifts of ministry, gifts of liberality. We find gifts mentioned in 1 Peter 4. The gifts that are mentioned in our text are been referred to as ministry gifts. But then again, we are all ministers in the new covenant. There's places in the body that exist, these gifts that we're going to look at. They exist in the body to achieve the fullest potential in Christ. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Apostles is mentioned. This refers to an ambassador, one sent with credentials to represent another. The apostles were the pioneers of the faith. God sent them to the world at the birth of the church. He authenticated their ministry by special signs. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it says, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. When the church was established, there was no more need for the ministry of an apostle. The office ceased to exist with the death of the early foundational apostles that God used to establish the church. There are no apostles today, no matter the claims of some individuals. Prophets. The word speaks of a foreteller. This was a person who received direct revelation from God to share with the world. The words of the prophet were literally the words of God. When the Bible was completed, the need for prophets ceased. There are no prophets in the world today in the sense that no one is receiving new revelation from God. Everything we know and will know concerning God and the faith of Jesus Christ can be found in the pages of the Bible. Prophet Bob doesn't have a specific private word for you that he has received from God. Apostles, prophets, evangelists. This word literally means a preacher of the gospel. It has in mind those who are especially gifted in sharing the gospel with those who have never heard. This gift is still very much active in the church today. Missionaries, gifted witnesses, and preachers who take the gospel to the unchurched have been given the gift of evangelists. And yet, the scripture has called us all of us, to be evangelists. We're to go into all the world, making disciples, proclaiming the gospel. Another gift we see is pastor teachers. While Paul uses two words here, one, office. It's an office that is in view. It's not a title. It is an office. The word pastors means shepherd. It speaks of those who tend to the needs of a flock. It speaks of one who reaches out to the fallen, who binds up the wounded, who feeds the hungry. I would ask you the question, is that not what we all do as children of God? We're to reach out to the fallen, we're to bind up the wounded, we're to feed the hungry. Pastor teaches is just in a greater context. They lead flocks to green pastures beside still waters. It speaks often of a man who has the care of a group of individuals, of the people of God. And he is the driving force, so to speak, behind the gathering of people. He leads. He doesn't drive. He leads. Far too often, people that are in this office, they drive people as opposed to lead people. They're not ruling and reigning with iron fists. They're to gently lead as a husband leads a wife and his children. Teachers speak of those who faithfully and consistently open the word of God to feed the people of God. That's what it says about an elder, able to teach. And this gift is very active today. During the Dark Ages, the gift was not that active, but it is active today, and it is to be carried out by each and every one of us. Some teach in a more private setting, and some teach in a more public setting, public and private, both. But we're all called to teach. Husbands are to teach their wives and their children. Wives are to teach the children. Teach older women, teach younger women, the older women teaching the younger women, the younger women teaching teenage girls, the men teaching the younger men teaching the boys, boys teaching girls, girls teaching boys, brothers and sisters teaching each other, ironing, sharpening iron. We are all to be about the business of teaching one another. Some, as I said, it's more of a public context. They publicly preach, they publicly teach. The whole point here is this. Your gift might have been in the list that I just mentioned, and it might not have been mentioned here. Be that as it may, when God saved you, He gifted you. He gave you at least one spiritual gift, and probably more. And He gave them to you so that you could serve Him and so that you could be a blessing to His church. And I would challenge you today to find your gift and put it to work for Jesus Christ, because every gift is needed. If it wasn't needed, it would not have been given. As I mentioned before, some people, they just see the quote-unquote pastor or some other leader in the church that, okay, they do the Lord's work, and I necessarily don't do the Lord's work. But that's not true. Brothers and sisters, that's not true, because each and every one of us, according to 1 Peter, is part of the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. It says in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, you also, that's all of us, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, notice, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. You are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. For what purpose, Peter? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. You say, okay, Bill, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist, so to speak. Or am I a pastor teacher? And as I said, we all are to evangelize in some way, shape, or form. Some in greater degrees and further degrees. Some go overseas. And it says pastor teaches. Well, a pastor is a shepherd, which is supposed to lead people. If you're a husband, you're leading your wife. If you're a husband and a mom, you're leading your children. So, in a way, you are shepherding, right? And teachers. All of us is to teach as children of God. And that's because we are all part of the royal priesthood. So you say, okay, but what are some of the sacrifices that God wants? It says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Well, the first sacrifice that the Lord requires of us is that of a broken and a contrite heart. Do you have that? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Now you see how that applies to all of us? And very often, sad to say, many that have the gift of teacher and elder and an overseer, that's the last thing they have is a broken and contrite spirit. Most times, it's prideful and boastful. So God requires of us a broken and a contrite heart. Being a contrite heart, first of all, is at the core of conversion. It's essential. It's fundamental. The scripture says the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as has a contrite spirit. Thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What is the Lord looking for? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's the sacrifice that the Lord wants. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you have a broken and contrite spirit? There's a sacrifice that you can offer God. We're to offer up part of the holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Also, the Lord looks for those who worship him in spirit and truth. He looks for spiritual worshipers. God delights to be adored by his people and praised for all that he is. Can you do that? Can you thank him? Can you praise him? Can you worship him? Offer to God thanksgiving. Pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you. And you shall glorify me. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon you the name of the Lord. Such a sacrifice honors God. And each and every one of us have been called to this. Brothers and sisters, far too often we ignore in our vocation as priests. Each and every one of us in the New Testament, brothers and sisters, are priests. We're part of the royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices. We worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That is what you do offer up as a priest. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my mouth. You hear the sacrifices that I'm offering up right now? You can offer up the same things. It's not because I'm a preacher and I'm a teacher that I can do this. You can do the same thing. I'm reading to you from the scriptures. The praise of God is to be a continual sacrifice. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, this is how we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. This is the gifts that God has given to us. These are the gifts that Jesus Christ has given to his people. We are to have a broken and contrite spirit as priests. As priests, we are to offer up thanksgiving and praise and bring honor and glory to God. Not only that, but we are to be a praying people. Praying people that believe that God is going to answer our prayers. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands in prayer be like the evening sacrifice. In the book of Revelation, it says, the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Who are the saints? The called out ones. That's us. Saints, same word. Used in holy priesthood, same word, holy. Saints, sanctified, same word, hagias. That's each and every one of us offering up prayers, broken and contrite spirit, offering up thanksgiving, praise, glory, and honor. That is what we're to be about. A perpetual incense before the Lord, with the pray without ceasing. Do you see, brothers and sisters, the importance of the royal priesthood? This office that each and every one of us hold today, on the most part, is neglected. Many churches, many preachers will give lip service to, oh yeah, you're part of the royal priesthood. But what exactly does it mean? It means that you are a priest and you are to continually be in that office. It's not I go to church on Sunday morning for an hour and listen to somebody preach to me for an hour, and then I go about my business. That's not New Covenant priest. Not at all. That's you just a spectator. You might as well be at a ball game, being a spectator. That's not what it is to be part of the royal priesthood, offering up sacrifices and praise and honor, praying for the people around you, praying for your family, praying for your neighbors, praying for your enemies, praying for those that are in chains and bonds overseas, those who are locked up for the faith. Each and every one of us, that is our duties, brothers and sisters. Stop shirking your duties. Stop ignoring your duties. It doesn't matter if you're a garbage man. It doesn't matter if you're a CEO of a company. It doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom. It doesn't matter if you're a ball player, a ditch digger. It doesn't matter what you are. If you are a child of God, you are part of the royal priesthood. Now, therefore, act as a priest. Act as a priest. What else, Bill, can I offer up? I can offer contrite, broken spirit. I can offer up praise them and glorifying him. I can offer up prayers. I'm called to offer up good works. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. You notice these words? What do you think sacrifices? That is a priest word. That word is straight out of the Old Testament. The priest offered sacrifices. But the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is each and every one of us are priests. In the Old Testament, those of the tribe of Levi were priests. In the New Testament, each and every believer is a priest. Do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. What gifts do I have, bro? I just mentioned a whole bunch of them. The Lord takes pleasure in the good works of his people. And they're holy and acceptable because of what Christ has done. This doing good involves the hands-on support of needy Christians, perhaps especially the maintenance of the gospel ministry, the spread of the gospel. In Romans it says some have been given the gift of liberality, so get the giving. What can we offer up? Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who are borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you'll do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. 3 John verses 5-8. The scripture says in Philippians, for the advancement of the gospel is a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing with God. Good works, prayer, praising, contrite and broken spirit. These are the things that the Lord delights in. Believers are to put on love, which is the bond of perfection. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What can you do? You can lay down your life for the brethren. not necessarily physically in depth. Maybe you would be called upon to do that. But that you would hold others in high esteem over yourself. Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What a standard. What a demand. What a call of the priesthood. Brothers and sisters, you've been called with a high, high calling. You've been called to the same thing that Christ was called to lay down his life for others. And the scripture says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. Brothers and sisters, do you not see the seriousness of your call to good works, to a broken and contrite spirit, to prayer, to praise, to worship God, to the gospel, to the work of the gospel, to announce the good news, to advance the gospel to the world? That is another thing that we're to be doing as priests. Because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Jesus Christ with the priestly duty. Notice, the priestly duty. This is Paul speaking in Romans. The priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God. So that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God. Sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now you see, once again, these words that are used. Sacrifice. Offering. All priest terms. And he's given all of the priests different gifts, brothers and sisters. He ascended on high and he gave gifts to men and to women and to boys and girls that are in the body of Christ. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. All of us, brothers and sisters, have been called to good works, to prayer, to proclaim the gospel. Each and every one of us. We can no longer shirk our duties, our responsibilities. We must follow the commands of Jesus Christ. The last sacrifice that I mentioned is self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. It is the sacrifice that is above all of them. It entails everything. Not only does God require us to offer praise, worship, good works, love, service, witnessing, he calls us to total self-sacrifice. What does that mean? It means the offering of yourself. Paul tells us, I beseech you, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, and that you no longer be conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Brothers and sisters, this is each and every believer's call. It's not for a select group of people. Is not for a highly skilled group of individuals. Have you forgotten that the faith began with the carpenter who taught fishermen and tax collectors and a group of women? I mean, where did we turn into this highly skilled workforce at the neglect of the 90-something percent rest of us? That was never what it was supposed to be, brothers and sisters. Go back and read the book of Acts again. When the Holy Spirit came on the people, the 120, they all went out. And they all changed the world. And each and every believer today is supposed to be changing the world. But unfortunately, as I said, we professionalized the ministry, whereas the ministry is in all person ministry, each and every one of us. And may God Almighty grant us the wherewithal, the wisdom, the understanding to sacrifice all of our lives, everything about us, for the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, you're not a priest. You're not of the royal nation. You're not part of the family of God. But the good news is you can be today. You can become a child of God today by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Stop trying to save yourself. Stop indulging in a life of wickedness. Come to Jesus Christ. Ask Him to save you from your sin. And He will. See? Brothers and sisters, that's what a priest does. Simply telling people the good news of the gospel. That's just one aspect of it. So may we be about our Lord and Savior's business today.